We are out of executive session and we're back in regular session. We're having an update with Roden Bridge. Mr. Hayes.
Morning, gentlemen. First item I'd like to talk about is Cook Road and a section of Cook Road, if I could. I have a map here. This is basically Brockman Road, continues in. We maintain it down to the ending point here. This is considered Cook Road, comes down to the creek. The main section we maintain comes off of Lone Star Road. Cook Road comes down, it's chip and seal down to this point. This is basically just a gravel or dirt road up through here that basically was minimal maintenance. Very little to no maintenance past several years. And so this is what we're wanting to vacate and get rid of. One of the reasons, safety issue, it's GPS anymore. Jimmy Russell brought to our attention that an ambulance hung up down here, trying to respond to a call evidently from over here. They give them the shortest route coming this way rather than going the other direction.
All this owned by one property owner?
All this owned by one property owner, and I have property deed here. I've also talked with Mr. Cotty, and he's double-checked which statute is the correct one to use on this one. So.
Let me ask this. You have this green line drawn all the way across the creek and up to where we...
I want to vacate it from this portion to here.
There's a gate right here, isn't there, where across the creek?
No gate.
I mean, there's a gate, there's a pipe fence there that doesn't have a gate on, but I'm talking about a pipe fence on both sides of it, isn't there?
There is. Do you remember one being down there?
No, I think that's when you turn and start up the creek on to the individual. The roadway itself doesn't have any.
There may be keep from going this way or that way to the field entrance, but there was no gate that I remember on the crossing. It's a natural crossing, basically.
Yeah.
There's no slab.
There's no slab or anything. I drove it the other day.
There's a big sick point. You can't get through here now anyway.
Yeah.
Unless somebody's cut it out there last time I was there.
When the water gets up, you sure can't get through there.
No. It's pretty much impassable on that, which is quite a bit of the time.
And this property owner is wanting to vacate, too, right?
Well, he's agreeable to it.
Well, I'm ready. If we can figure out how to vacate the portion of the road, well, I'm ready to move on it if you can.
The question comes up as far as the cost. And there's got to be a survey description. That's one thing we've got to have. We've got to have that description, centerline description, which is fine. So that's the meets and bounds.
I
looked at the.
I don't think so, Randy. I hate to disagree with. An attorney and this and that, but it's all owned by one individual. And when there's a description needed is whenever there is two individuals or more on a section of road, because half of it goes to one side and half of it goes to the other. In this case, where it all goes to one individual, the same property owner, I think it'd be a waste of money for a
basically totally description. Disappears, but
yeah.
So the description would be something that would be drafted like a map or a road meandering from such and such point down across such and such property to Swan Creek at such and such a point.
You might have to survey it there just so there's no question on where the road is.
Point A to point B.
I agree with Danny and talk to Frank about that.
Yeah,
because every inch of this property, if that road's vacated, will fall back to,
we'll go back to
the original owner. And there's been no county expanse on the road that I can see for some time because it's actually rode with Jimmy down through there, and it's almost not four-wheel drive passable.
The one issue as far as the safety, I want to be able to sign this so we don't get anybody hung up here from now until we get it, because it'll have to come up under the April session. There's no way we can get it ready.
I'm ready to move forward with it since we've talked to Frank and them about the.
Well, the question is it going to fall to the county's shoulders to do the. My question was the other day, is there an alternative to Chapter 228 that calls for a petition to vacate?
He is going to check on that. He thought there may be, I told him this is not in the city limits, so that discounted one statute. He said that it still may require 12 signature petition, which.
Point is, well, we have that attorney draw up the petition.
Right.
And for, under the auspices of safety and what's happening on the road, we can do that.
But that he was going to check to make sure if there was another statute other than 228 to use that regarded a situation like that, that you could do something quick.
Well, I'm not sure that quicker is the right answer, because the way I understood it, it's the first meeting month of each quarter. So we're talking the next quarter now to get it done.
We can do that in April. Problem is, I want to do something to keep somebody from.
What kind of sign would you put up there, Randy?
We just close the road. I mean, basically, it's a county road. If we see any safety reasons, we should be able to close the road.
Does he still use that to go down and feed, or nothing?
Well, I don't know how far he goes to feed. That's what I've got to find out.
It's a rough road. So,
yeah, it is. If he's going down there, I don't know what he's using. Anything. It's pretty rough.
I agree. I'm ready. Have our council move forward with that. But I agree with Danny. I don't see the necessity of
cost of a lengthy survey.
Other than a general description.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then a point A and B.
I'm going ahead and basically close it for the county.
I would sign it at both ends as a closed road. I don't know whether that takes an act of us today to close it for safety purposes. That way, if an ambulance or something. One thing that needs to be done is a cul-de-sac or some kind of a turnaround on both ends. Now, one end
well,
of it has.
We do have it on the other end. We do have a turnaround already designated.
Right.
Well, here it would just be the road that comes off the road is no longer usable.
Right.
I mean, the road's still there. It continues on. The other road. Is it Brockman?
Right.
That could be a. Well, I think, Ron, though, if we're going to close the road, we need to, at that point, have a turnaround.
If there's enough room there, rather than go any farther, they'll be able to back out and
okay.
The other direction.
All right.
We'll leave enough room for that. I mean, that's not going to be a problem.
Okay.
I just don't want them to go far enough down there that.
Just make sure that the property owner is in agreement with us.
Right.
Doing that.
Right.
Okay.
It's going to be signage anyway, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Next issue. I'll let you make a determination, but I've talked with about as many people as I can, and that's that one that's you give me.
This lady called me, and I asked Randy to take a look at this. She has property over in the Bee Creek area, and when they did the sewer project over there, there's an easement that runs across her property. At the time, I think there was one property owner that utilized the easement. There might have been two, but had the right to go to his house. He also had a road to get to his house, but what happened, and long and short of it, is that the sewer district had part of the easement paved. And now the property owners below and others are utilizing that rather than utilizing the main road across her property, and they're parking cars on her property on that easement.
Okay. Talked with her. Basically, and I've got a survey here, but here's the road in question, which is across here, and you can see how the road comes more onto her property at this point. Remember this last, this point right here, down, and...
Where's her house at? This one, okay.
What she's wanting to do, she's wanting to subdivide off a lot here, but that's her future plan.
These houses have access from the...
Right, there's road, access right? Coming around here to get to all this.
Right, okay.
All right. And I questioned her, I said, how do you get to your house right now? She said there's an ingress, egress across here. She can access her property. This lady can access her property. They also signed a ingress, egress, or she worked that up for the survey. So this gentleman that had bought these two lots from this lady can access across here to get to these lots. Right here is the part that's in question. This section here, there's a sewer easement, but there is no ingress, egress for road purpose. It's a sewer easement. That's the part that got paved that she would like to go away.
That they're using as a road now.
They're using
just
as
a sewer easement.
This part has a ingress, egress across here. So they can access here, here, and here. He can also access this lot from North Street, as well as she can access her own property from North Street or this way, but there's no road easement. It's only a sewer easement.
Did this come off of her property originally over here, this easement?
Yes, yes.
Randy,
it's on her.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'd like to know that what the reason was for the paving. Was that an agreement in the easement?
She didn't agree to pay. She just come home one day, it was done. I don't know. But it's also went to court. Nothing really got decided. They've been in, they went to court over it. Most of my information I got from Doug Fagan, which done this. He was the best information I got. And she also said they went to court over this issue and nothing got.
Let me say something. I don't believe that they woke up and it just happened. If I was judging somebody, some official either in the sewer department or somewhere somebody paid for the asphalt and somebody was in agreement with it either for a sewer easement or something, I'd like to know more information about it myself. I understand if a person don't want vehicles going across there, but if there was county dollars...
They were there previous, they wouldn't have just paid. I mean, if they put a sewer easement, they don't normally pay just a sewer easement. They've never done that I know of. So it had to be some existing travel previous to all.
Have you talked to Suti or any of them?
Suti. I didn't get much there. I got more from Doug, basically, but he done most of the easements and a lot of the work there. Now, any agreements, you don't know what.
That's what I'm...
Carter took place.
Why did the sewer district say that they paid that portion of the sewer easement?
I didn't get an answer.
We'll need one before we do take any action, because if we take an action and they've already got a contract or something...
Right. More so what her concern, to me, is more of a civil issue, I think, and unless we can find out something or why, or if there was any reason or who's there.
Well, we're involved from this perspective as far as I'm concerned. My guess is that they utilized county sales tax dollars to pave that road as part of the capital improvement. So we need to know from them why they did that. And if you would ask them specifically, formally, okay, on our behalf as to why they paved that, we'd sure like to know.
Yeah.
Do you want this back then?
Oh, next question, I need to find out more information here, but I do have a concern I can show you on this one. That road there, which we consider a county maintained road, shows to be vacated. So I need to dig into a little more information there, but we don't want to be maintaining the road that's been vacated. So. But that's another one. I got to get some more.
Have you got any dates on it?
I do have the dedication.
What date?
The 80s, the last I can say.
But the county has went ahead and maintained it after that.
Well, I don't know how much maintenance work we've done between them points. That was the, here's the dedication, 86.
Yeah.
I'd say it was the fault of that existing presiding commissioner and county clerk.
Yeah. That's what it looked like.
I see names on there I recognize.
Basically, I went and inventoried all the roads. It was about 2002 time frame to find out what we had on state inventory and what we did not. This was one of them that come up that in dealing with supervisors, myself, Harlan, Gene, and Sam, and all them. If I had a road in question, if I couldn't find any other documentation, are we maintaining this particular section of road so I could add it to our inventory list? And Sam had told me at that time we were, so that's the reason it was added. But we didn't have the capability at that time with ArcMap and different information that showed up at that time, so we were unaware.
Well, apparently, as you read this petition, there's, 10 couples that own property, 10 pieces of property?
Yeah, I mean, it's subdivided.
It went through the process, and...
So it's been totally vacated. And now it's also one of those that went through sewer, and they got sewer down through there, I'm sure, probably a sewer easement or whatever they had to... Because they sewered that whole community in there.
How many people's using that road now, do you think?
Just the ones that it dead ends. It doesn't go through.
So they vacated the road, but they're still using it. They vacated it from county purposes, but they're still using it.
Yeah, right here.
Okay.
This so road served.
Apparently, we're still maintaining it.
8 lots.
Right?
Yeah.
We haven't done anything good in a long time.
They haven't done it.
Well, unless otherwise, I wouldn't maintain it anymore. Right here's the...
And that basically tells us.
Unless we have those people come in and ask for it to be re...
If they do, they'll have to dedicate the right-of-way and everything for it to
right.
be maintained.
What I'm having a hard time figuring out is if they had it, there must have been some problem that they want to maintain it themselves, and that's totally reversed from what we ordinarily do.
What we normally see, yeah. Okay. Let's see what else I got that we dealt with. Okay. The pole building we're planning on building over at Mount Branson. What we currently thought we had bid as far as building materials wasn't the case. We got to bid out our building materials. So we're in the Steve is going to get us a materials list put together for this particular building, and I'll work with Ron Erickson, and we're going to bid out our materials for that. We're going to continue to move forward. I mean, we've got the ground prepped close. We've got some preliminary stuff we need to do there. But the material's going to average right in around 15, 16,000 what we had quotes basically already for. So it's going to be still the same estimated cost.
Yeah.
We just didn't have
You already started this. Okay.
We've already started the prepping it. I mean, the ground's almost ready. A couple more days' work, and we'll be ready to drill holes. But we found out last week we didn't have a current bid to use as far as that. We thought we were good until we conversed with Ron again and double-checked on that.
Okay.
That was only good for that one-time expenditure during the storm and tornado, and we thought they were good. We could utilize that bid for a year, and that wasn't the case. Let's see, what have I left? Give me a pen. The last item on there is we had at one time, a couple years ago, a boot allowance, which we would pay $100 for each employee one time a year, $100 toward a good safety boot. I'd like to know if that would be possible at some point to reinstate that, if we could.
I made a note of it, Randy. It's something we'll bring up. We're going to do our budgetary discussions today and tomorrow.
All right.
See where we're at. Is that all right?
Okay. That's all I have right now, unless these other three guys or you gentlemen have something.
Slough Hollow's the guardrails up.
Correct.
Will there need to be any maintenance between now and the? I mean, it's basically base rock, and we haven't had any bad weather or anything.
We're going to grade and maintain the road. I mean, I don't know if you've been down there and graded.
We graded it once, but we're going to until
we're ready.
Until we're ready, chip
seal. Yeah. Okay, so that's
pretty high traffic. You get speed out pretty quick.
Yeah. We're in the process of where are we at, Randy, with the outgranting on the Corps of Engineers roads?
That's still in there. They've got all the information. I'm waiting on them, basically, to respond back to us on the outgranted roads. So I don't have that yet.
As you well know, the only way that process with them in any fashion or form is weekly fax or telephone calls. So I would ask that you be in on part of that, and I'll try to share the other telephone calls, and we'll see if we can't get that process. We went through a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of road travel and everything else to get those outgrants proposed, and supposedly that was to take place. This being the first part of the year, they're going to have a meeting shortly, I'm sure, with their big dogs, and whenever they do, I'd like for that to be on the table.
They do have hard copies of all that information. I also took them a disc. They did have all the information, so according to John Heiser, they were everything they got. That was being sent to Little Rock, so I'll double check with both him and Mark Case and see where we're at and see if they can get me any information.
The process was that we were doing three of those accesses a year. Had been in the past last year because of the work that we did at KDOC area. We didn't proceed with three, but we need to go ahead and get back on the course with trying to do three of those a year.
Okay.
And so we've already turned in the list. I think there's each year has three.
I mean, the total list had a total of over 60 roadways and areas that were on Corps property. But We were trying to do just as we have money available.
That's exactly right.
About that many.
Yeah.
Some of them, of course, we maintain, like Slough Hollow Road. That's one of them that's on that list, which we're going to...
Well, I'm just asking you to keep that up, that pressure on.
I'm going to send them emails this week and see where we're at and see if they can give me any update.
Guys, anything else?
That's all I've got. Sorry.
Right, Pro Tem Bridge, Pro Tem City Creek Bridge project completed.
The only thing's not is the water crossing. The method he wanted to use to do the water crossing is not working. We're trying to get a hold of him currently to re-meet with him down there to change it. He was wanting them landscape timbers swung 6 inches apart all the way across, and it's too big a span. It's not working.
It's too heavy. The fence is all done other than that. We've got a temporary that he can use the pastures and whatnot. We just got to meet with him, come up with that. That was part of the agreement as far as right away.
And he was in Florida there Thursday when we had the contact.
Other than that, the project's basically done, completed.
But what else, the FEMA money's already been appropriated and everything, or do they have to come back and do an inspection, or where are we at with that?
SEMA would be who would be giving us the last of the money, and whether we actually got that, I'm not sure. I'm working with Melissa Duckwork on.
Let's make sure we get that so we don't get behind on those. Can't think of any other projects that have been...
Randy, let me back you up to a while ago that you had found a road that had been vacated.
Right.
Question was that we had still obviously maintained it, whether we'd maintained it recently or not, but it has been maintained?
We have been maintaining it. I don't know how much we do now on it. I mean...
Let me follow up with this. Traditionally, when a road is vacated, the ownership of the road falls to the property owner that's adjacent to that. So my suggestion is that we definitely cease if the road's been vacated because we're on private property.
Right.
But I just hate to drop it if the people have been utilizing the road, and I think that it might be in our best interest to send a letter to those property owners stating that this has been discovered, and if they have any questions about it, they need to call.
Right.
We really need to do our due diligence on that before.
Right. I will draft that letter, and we will contact the property owners. So.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Next time I want to see shirt and tie.
County board appointments. Don, I see that we also have you following county board appointments. Are you here for that process?
Well, I was here for the senior services board. That's the only one I was going to comment on then. Just wanted to meet with the commission just in general about the senior services board if you had not.
Okay. Mr. Erickson, did you have something for us specifically?
Question.
Mr. Ashley? And that issue is? Not right now. And you're talking about with one commissioner? Because we don't have you on the agenda. We're not going to hear you.
Impossible with one commissioner.
If you'll give us just a few minutes, I'll work a minute into whatever your immediate problem is. County board appointments, gentlemen. We have a number of vacancies and or vacancies to be that we need to address. First and foremost, let me point out that for planning and zoning, we now have a vacancy in the Big Creek Township, Branson Township, and the Oliver Township. Those last two, I think, as of recently, as the January 1st.
If there is anyone here, by the way, that knows someone down in the Big Creek Township, that has been vacant for an extended period of time. So we would be open to any names that we might contact that might serve on the planning and zoning representing Big Creek Township. Either Branson or Oliver Township, gentlemen?
Well, Mr. Caudill sits on the Oliver Township, and I would make a motion that he go ahead and remain on the P&Z board in that position.
So you're making a motion to reappoint Mr. Caudill to the Oliver Township on Planning and Zoning Board?
Yes.
I'll second that motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to appoint Rick Caudill, reappoint Rick Caudill on the Branson, or on the Planning and Zoning Commission representing the Oliver Township. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Taney County Developmentally Disabled Board, we have three positions. It's also known as the SB 40 Board. We have recommendations here as well that came from the executive director of that association.
Kathy's already on the board, correct? She's one to be reappointed. Mm-hmm. Then we have two new, so I move to appoint Kathy Dodds, Dean Porter, and Chuck O'Day to the Taney County Developmentally Disabled Board.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to appoint Kathy Dodds, Dean Porter, and Chuck O'Day to the Taney County Developmentally Disabled Board. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Board of Adjustments. Bob, how many vacancies do we have on BOA? One? Just one? Wait and have that discussion? Because we certainly can. We can reschedule. I think we already have rescheduled these for Thursday.
As a matter of fact, I started contacting those people to try to find out about this. That top name on that list, didn't even know about it.
Okay.
So their name was put on there and they weren't even contacted. So I don't know how that... I would make a motion.
Where'd you say that person was? For where?
Hmm. Let's see.
Then you got these three in all set, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think here's where the mistake was made. I think that when they called.
Let's wait on both those till Thursday.
Let's hold the DOA and Transportation Advisory until Thursday.
Wrong. Is the Transportation Advisory Board, is it two or one?
Mine shows three.
Shows three new appointments needed to be. We're going to have to hold that till
Let's
Thursday.
Let's wait. We want to be sure.
We want to be sure those...
won't even be on it.
Park Board?
It's one reappointment for the park board, isn't it? I've got two names, but one reappointment.
Well, I'd like to talk to her because mine shows two.
Well, here's the thing with that. Ronnie,
do you wish to just appoint one? Let's do that at this time.
I'm going to make a motion to reappoint Ronnie Melton to the park board.
Second that motion.
Ronnie Melton, motion is to appoint Ronnie Melton to the park board. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
The other name. But who's going off, or is it still going off?
That was Rod took her place, right?
Right, right. He extended the term for her, unless we got a letter of...
Well, let's wait on the other.
Huh?
We'll wait on the other.
Until Thursday?
Mm-hmm. 911?
We've already made those appointments.
We have one we need to reappoint, don't we?
Yes.
I move to reappoint Jimmy Russell to the 911 board.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to reappoint Jimmy Russell to the 911 board. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. And I have marked through until we have two questions answered, the senior citizen board and the library board. Is that right?
That's, I made a phone call.
And this regional sewer board, there would be three, actually. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I made a call on the last one on the list there, and I'm ready to go ahead and appoint Russell Jackson to the library board.
I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to do so. Appoint Russell Jackson.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded to appoint Russell Jackson to the vacancy that exists on the library board. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Any others I've missed that we hadn't...
Are we going...
Already struck until you have more information?
More discussion,
will
I guess,
for
from
Thursday?
Well, we're going to have discussion here, aren't we? But from... Didn't you say that's the reason you're here?
Yeah. We have Don on... We have him on the agenda.
Yeah. All right.
Let's move to Mr. Ingram, Senior Citizen Service Board.
Thank you, Ron.
And whomever else that you'd like to have join you.
I thought Brun's here and Beth Lyman also. So.
Do you want to have them come up? Or?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Let me pull another chair in. How are you all today?
Fine. How are you? Want to start with the appointments first, or?
Surely. Whatever.
Okay. I talked with Danny here a couple of weeks ago, I think. At least on my part, there was a little bit of confusion on when these terms came up for reappointment. And I think after talking with him, and I went back and looked at the statute, and I think you were going to maybe talk to your legal counsel, it looks to me like that there's no reason we can't put these on a calendar year basis. Is that consistent with
the
conclusion you came to, Dan?
Right.
Okay. One of the issues on that is that you all made appointments in August of 2010, and they were for 1, 2, 3, and 4 year terms. And then once the people come up for reappointment, then they're for 4 year terms each time. So there was a vacancy on the person who was appointed the 1 year term, and you all appointed Pat Campbell to fulfill that vacancy. So she's never really been reappointed, I doubt, because I think she was like appointed to fill Bonnie Matthiessen's term in probably May of 2011, and the board was originally appointed in August of 2010, and Bonnie had a 1 year term, and then she resigned, and so we didn't think to ask that she'd be reappointed. The two people that are up at this point are Bill Wally and Don Bruns, and they would both like to be reappointed. So unless there's, you know, some other thoughts that the commissioners have, I'd suggest that, you know, you consider reappointing them. And probably it wouldn't hurt to clean up Pat Campbell either, maybe kind of retroactively on hers. And she was the, I might mention also, I think the statute talks about, you know, trying to have the county
represented geographically, and I think you all do that anyway, even if the statute doesn't require it. And the way it worked out with the, when this board was originally formed, there really wasn't anybody from Branson at all on the board. And I think that may have been one of the reasons that perhaps you all appointed Pat when she applied to be considered for that.
A couple of things real quick, if I could ask. You mm-hmm. said you'd had conversation with Dan. Are we moving these terms to a calendar or a January appointment time? Is that what you...
That's what I understand Danny would like to do.
That's okay. What I understood, that we were going to try to move it. All that weren't statutorily provided by the date of formation, that we move them to the first of the year.
Are each of these three individuals that you've listed, are they up for a four-year term that would be effective this January 1?
No. Pat's would be effective for a four-year term, effective January 1 of last year.
Okay.
And then Don Bruns and Bill Wally, would be effective for four-year terms due, or effective January 1 this year.
Okay.
What we had was a recommendation last time. There was a large list, if you remember, of people that wanted to be on this board, and we had went through the appreciation of that many people being interested. I'm ready to go ahead and reappoint Don Bruns as of right now, and also there was I went back through and looked, and there was a person that was recommended as a, I don't know how we handle Pat's situation. I know that
Pat Campbell, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't aware either. In fact, I wasn't involved in it. All of a sudden, she was there, uh-huh. Which was fine, you know.
Right.
Because we needed somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, you needed someone. And
I'm sorry to interrupt. Help me understand, Don, how we can go from the original appointments and move those to a January or an annual calendar appointment. Do we need to do something, I would think that we do, within our minutes, to make the decision to change those effective beginning
dates
for those board members? We just can't do that without doing something formally, I don't think.
It says it says for a 1, 2, 3, and 4 year terms on that initial board.
Right.
And then, you know, I did not see anything in the statute that said that it has to be, you know, effective on the date of the original appointment.
Okay.
Because even some of those were staggered. They weren't all appointed, you know, at the same time, because there were some that were appointed initially and then some later. So I would think maybe it's, from my perspective, part of the motion here today would be that, you know, we'd be doing these on a calendar year basis with the first one-year anniversary coming up January 1, 2011. That would have been the January 1, 2012. That would have been the one that Pat Campbell, or with Bonnie Mathiesen, Bonnie Mathiesen would have come up then. And she ended up in the interim being replaced by Pat Campbell, and I suspect there was nothing in the minutes at that time, and wouldn't have been, because she was appointed like in May of 2011. So Bonnie's term wasn't even up yet, whether she's appointed in August or whether we're going to make them all on a calendar year basis. I'm sure you're much more knowledgeable about this than I am, but it would seem to me like part of what we do today, we need to clarify that these are, you know, that the initial terms were up. It'd be it'd be slightly more than a year. It'd be a year and a few months, so that they fall on January of each.
I have zero objection to doing what you're asking for. I just think that we need to be careful in our verbiage and make sure that we get it
right,
accurately put down in print. And I'll be willing to work with Don to draft that.
Have you guys slip
that into the minutes?
Yeah, we'll get something over to you.
It needs to say something from the initial appointment after that. Then the next time they come up, then it's all
I would just feel more comfortable having that in place before we put those people in those.
There were one two, and three staggered year terms, with the fourth year being, was there a couple of four-year members?
Yeah, in fact, let me give
you. I was appointed 4 years.
Here's a.
Well, the question Don had was that appointment take effect immediately. Obviously, it did if you all started meeting, or can we make it effective that it started January 1? Otherwise,
you won't pass those down. That's kind of the way those were done.
Okay.
There's one for each of you.
Thank you.
There was one year, that was Vonnie Matteson, who was replaced by Pat Campbell, and then the 2 years were Don Bruns and Bill Wally. The 3 year were Mike Merrill and I, and then the 4 year were Leanne Caulfield and Beth.
So
it would be nice that the language that we put in, Don, for example, on Beth, where it's so 4 year, that we actually put in that term is set to expire, and instead of 8/24/14, we'll make it 12/31/14.
Right.
And same thing for Ms. Caulfield, as I'm looking down the page.
Right.
And then, but we could put that in with the verbiage that hopefully we could do ASAP.
Right.
Now we get that too.
I understand where you're at on that, Ron. I had,
and according to the Dan's comment just a minute ago, you're right now willing, just so that Don knows, as soon as we do this paperwork, that he's reappointed to this board.
Right.
And he continues in service until that time, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Anyway, is that
that's what I'm
impression, Don?
Yeah. He would appear. He would go ahead and continue for a 4 year term, beginning January 1 of this year.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
I think what I hear you saying is, Ron, if you'd like something that indicates on that initial appointment, we go ahead and put a specific expiration date or a reappointment date for every individual here.
And I think that would cover the problem that we have on a third of a term or a half of a term. This is something real simple for us to put in the minutes. The Taney County Commission took up the matter of the appointments to the Senior Services Board and finds that or has declared that the term shall be effective as of January 1 or for reappointment as of that date, et cetera. And then we can clarify, for example, that Beth's term will not expire on 8/24, but in fact will expire 12/31 of 2014. I think that's the best way to.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
To make that transition. We'll make a motion, a second, put that in, and do those appointments that these gentlemen offer up at that time, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Now, is that going to leave you without a quorum?
No, we'll still have a quorum. You know, in other words, in the way I understand it, typically, in a situation like this, somebody continues to serve until
reappointed.
Until reappointed, or until somebody else is substituted for them.
A lot of
I will work with you and schedule this as early as our next meeting, which is Thursday, if that's okay.
Yeah,
and we'll make let one of them make the motions, insert that in the minutes, and
okay.
Is that all right, Dan?
That's fine.
All right. Brandon?
Okay.
Good one. Clean.
Okay. Then the other thing that I wanted to just talk to you about, I know occasionally I've run into Danny as much as anybody, or talked to him briefly, but if there's any concerns that you guys have or anything that you want addressed or anything that you think that we're overlooking as a board as to, you know, the needs of the people here in the county, that just from what we're hearing and the thing that we're getting, transportation really seems to be the big issue. I think part of that has to do largely, you know, with the size of the geographical area, and particularly when you get to some of the outlying areas, when I say outlying, either down at Ridgedale or over at Bradleyville, Cedar Creek, those sort of places, that we're taking steps to address that. We've gone ahead, and last year, initially, we had, I guess, a transportation proposal from Oates and also Southwest Missouri Office on Aging. We went ahead and opted to go with the Oates transportation the first year, and the reason being they were substantially less, but part of that was three-quarters of the money was coming from the federal government, and another quarter was coming from the local board. Now, what that gave us, and we made a deal with them, that gave us priority seating, you know, or priority use of the vehicles that we were contributing 25% on, but we didn't get exclusive use. So they had to make it available to other people in the county also that were under 60 years of age. The way it's worked out, because they've given us priority usage, and Beth or Don, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong here, but the senior portion of the ridership on those buses has continually gone up, and we were always over 50%. We're probably running 60 to 70% of the rides are used for seniors, so we feel that we're, you know, our money's being well spent there. The other thing we've done, though, last year we went ahead and asked, or Oates made a proposal that they would purchase a bus exclusively for use of seniors in the county, and we went ahead and did that. And so there was a pretty large capital outlay that first year. We have an agreement that we have the bus for a five-year period. Now, each year, as far as the what operational cost, we go ahead and fund that each year, but it's substantially less than the initial year. We've gone ahead and tentatively approved the purchase of another bus by Oates to be used exclusively for use of the seniors in the county, because that really seems to be, you know, a big need and a big issue. The other things that we've done, you know, as far as this year is concerned, we'll be getting a, because I know you guys have to approve our budget for 2013, but we'll be getting a more formal, I guess, list of grants too. But let me go ahead and hand this out if you want. I was unable to be at the December meeting. That's when the actual grant requests were approved. But this is a, shows you, you know, where the money has been spent. There was also some other grant applications that were not approved. Not that we will not do them, but we wanted to see where we were financially before we made some other commitments on this. But the Oates and the Southwest Missouri Office on Aging, which are the first one at the top, the Oates is $202,720, and Southwest Missouri Office on Aging is $262,859. And those were grants that, you know, that we've gone ahead and tentatively approved, subject to your, you know, going along. We also have one of the other problems we've had is the Meals on Wheels, particularly over here on the eastern side of the county. We want to be able to reach more people here, so this, the Eastern Senior Friendship site has agreed to administer that. That's where the meals are cooked anyhow, to hire somebody to actually deliver the meals. They're kind of having trouble with the volunteers or having enough volunteers to do it. The health department also came to us with a request that we fund a single shingles vaccine. It would be no charge to the seniors who went in to get it. And I know those are pretty expensive shots. When I turned 60, I was going to get one because I'd heard shingles are not something pleasant to get. And my doctor said, well, before you come in here, you better make sure your insurance covers it because it's pretty darn expensive. And it seems to me like it was back then it was $200 or $250 or something like that. So it's a pretty good, you know, financial outlay for a lot of these people on fixed income. So
that would be like a first come, first serve basis for
mm-hmm.
seniors.
Right, for seniors that would go in. The other thing, the Eastern Friendship site here, that's down on, you know, off 160, where they have the serve the meals each day. We've given them just $25,000 for general operational purposes, you know, for their site. And then Homes of Hope, or Mountain Country Homes of Hope, this is where we go in and maybe do some minor repairs to, you know, some of the folks' homes if they need, say they've had a stroke and they can't get in and out of their home. We've built some ramps. They could put maybe grab bars in the shower and in the toilets and that sort of thing. So that's what that's generally for. And then OCAC, they had asked for more money. This is for utility assistance for seniors. They didn't use all that we, you know, made available to them last year, but apparently part of that was they got involved in the tornado thing, and a lot of their efforts were directed in that direction, and they didn't do as much as far as utility help. They also had made a request for a dental program where we help reimburse seniors, you know, for some dental expenses they might not be able to take care of otherwise. And I was not at the meeting, but I think Beth indicated that until we got a little firmer grip on where we are financially, that we would not, you know, we didn't approve the dental portion of the grant at this time. I'm not saying that we wouldn't, but, you know, we just wanted to make sure kind of where we were financially.
And may I interject that any money that was given to them last year they didn't use, they returned to us. So they don't get to keep it. They return to us, and then we start with a new grant each year.
And let's see, and I think Skaggs Hospital had made an application for a visiting nurse. As I recall, it was going to be just under $100,000, or right around $100,000. And I think the board tabled it, if I'm not mistaken. The other thing that we had a grant this time, the first one we've ever had, from a for-profit agency. It was to do some of the same things that is doing in, as part of the Southwest Missouri Office on Aging grant, to go in and give some respite care to seniors and maybe help them with some house cleaning and that sort of thing if they're not able to do it themselves. They don't have family here to help them. And we did not approve the grant by the for-profit, but have suggested that maybe that the Southwest Missouri Office on Aging consider hiring them or hiring that agency as part of the money that we give to, you know, to help with that grant. Currently, the people that are doing the respite care and the cleaning and some of the personal care needs that some of the seniors have is being done on a contract basis with Skaggs. Now, the people that Skaggs have are maybe a little more highly trained than some of the for-profit people's employees would be, but what is it, about a $2 or $3 an hour difference mm-hmm. in cost, Beth?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I think we're not going to direct Southwest Missouri Office on Aging how to run their program, but and the board as a whole has not discussed this, or if it, I wasn't there at the last meeting, so I don't know what was discussed. But I think we might suggest to them that if they feel it's appropriate and the for-profit does a good job, that if a more highly trained individuals not needed to go in for a specific purpose, that they consider using this for profit as you know, another source of people to do what needs to be done. So I think that's, is there anything else that was on the agenda, Beth? Or was mm-hmm. that about it?
No, that was everything.
Mm-hmm. I might mention, too, that the way we've done these is in November we take our grant applications, and normally we have one meeting a month on the fourth Tuesday. And in November, we have two meetings because we have enough grant applicants that we want to make sure we give everybody enough time and we have enough time to talk with them. So there are two meetings in November, and then we vote on the things in December. And that's the meeting that I wasn't able to attend this time, but everybody else was there, weren't they?
Yes, Beth? Yes, they
okay.
were.
Mm-hmm. And we've had real good attendance, you know, by our board members, too. Yeah. I think everybody's, you know, real interested and seems to take a real interest in what's going on. Are there any concerns that have been expressed to you folks about the way we're, besides Brandon's dad's not getting his meals on wheels, which I get reminded of every time I'm in court? Probably shouldn't put that on the record. But if there's anything else that you feel that we're overlooking or that we're falling short on, you know, we'd appreciate your suggestions or comments. I really haven't heard anything, so I figured no news is good news. But if you have something.
I can't actually even imagine that you said that about Brandon's dad, although although it doesn't look like he's been eating well lately.
I'm staying out of this one.
I will interject that we are having meetings in the rural areas. We're having one at Cedar Creek this Sunday to get the word out to people on you know, what there is. Since I kind of represent the eastern part down there, it's kind of hard to get those people to understand this isn't a handout. This is what your tax money's for. And so we're scheduling those meetings.
I think that's a good idea.
And I think it's a great idea. I've been watching the last couple of years this program that the University Extension has. Mostly they use volunteers, that VITA, mm-hmm. Volunteer Income Tax Assistance mm-hmm. program. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of the elderly utilize that. Someday maybe there could be a discussion to see if there would be a way to enhance that or put it further okay. out in the rural area to help
okay.
a number of people, because there's so many that need help in that field. And but I know that they've got a huge program that they're
it's growing. That's sort of my interjection.
Well, yeah, you're on that
I'm on
board. I'm not.
Yeah, and it's a rapidly growing usage of the VITA program through, and the fact that you're going to those little outlying areas having meetings. A lot of people don't even know that this is available to them. Now, I did hear the other day that there was an advertisement by the senior board for drivers in the Branson area, volunteer drivers or something like that. And I didn't know at that point there was some convenience store talk of why is that we're furnishing a tax and they're asking for volunteers. And I didn't have the answer for them, so.
We try to make our money stretch as far as
yeah.
possible.
Right.
I mean, that's basically it.
Right.
If we can get volunteers, we'd prefer to do it that way.
Right.
You
know?
But I don't know I don't know exactly what that would have been for, because the Oaks, you know, they're all paid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and
maybe it's for Meals on Wheels.
It was for Meals on
senior,
Wheels.
Yeah, senior
oh.
friends.
Yes. Yeah, it was for Meals on Wheels.
Oh, that's for the Branson area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Office on Aging for Taney County, we've got 18 counties that are under their direction, and they're taking a $300,000 cut in federal money. This year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
My guess is, too, that probably it's a little easier and less expensive for the folks over in the Branson area, you know, the mm-hmm. meals that are delivered out of there, because you don't have as large a geographical area as you're talking about over yeah. on this side of the mm-hmm. county. So I think that's, at least in my mind, I don't know what the other board members thought at the December meeting when this was approved, but to me, I can understand that... You know, it's great to have volunteers, but you don't want to wear them out either or
right.
take advantage of them, because you need to have them continue to come back. But still, we need to provide the services over here.
A regular service, you know, is the great thing about volunteers is that they've got a good heart and they're willing to do so. But the bad thing about it is you soon get wore down
mm-hmm.
from doing the same thing mm-hmm. and something that's as consistent as Meals on Wheels might need some financial help or
that's
something.
That's what we was getting over in the eastern area. When some of those people that weren't used to going to Cedar Creek and Pro Gym mm-hmm. realized how far it was, you know, they were still doing it on Fridays, but
right,
they
right.
needed some help.
Right. And that's my only thought representing
mm-hmm.
this side.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, well, mm-hmm. when I heard that and they asked me the question, I mean, like I said, it was several individuals.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the radio as we were sitting there having
mm-hmm.
lunch, and they asked about that, what a volunteer service. And I said, it's great, the volunteers, just to wear them out. So.
Mm-hmm. That's basically our attitude, too, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, we're trying to get it out, that just not for seniors to come to our meetings and to our programs and that different thing, is there is family of seniors. So that they're aware that this is out there to get to help their parents or
mm-hmm.
their loved ones with too. So we're trying to be sure the family knows about it.
Right. If you have someone traveling to Cedar Creek with Meals on Wheels, and they're going down there for one or two people when they might be serving 10 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean, could be.
Mm-hmm.
The could be
mm-hmm.
part
exactly.
of it. And the same as Pro Tem. I know
exactly.
I run into a volunteer that was headed to Pro Tem with Meals on Wheels, and I asked how many was going down there for. He said, well, right now I'm just going for one.
Mm-hmm.
So there,
mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot more seniors down there that might
right.
qualify for that. So,
exactly.
Let me mention one other thing, too, and it kind of get case. Sounds like you guys maybe hear more than I realize also, but one of the things that had come up with one of our grants that we wasn't aware of that was going on is on the Southwest Missouri Office on Aging and Skaggs Hospital when they were going in and providing these services, they were sending out what they were terming a request for donation letter, and sometimes it almost seemed like it was more like a bill. And so when that came to our attention, we asked that that be stopped. And now they say they do it every other county that they serve, and we told them we'd prefer that not be done here. In other words, part of the problem with that was there probably some seniors that they get this donation letter, quote unquote, they think, well, I have to send this in. You know, this is kind of like a bill. I need to do my part, blah, blah, blah. And then there'd be some others that would say, well, hell, I'm getting for free. Why should I worry about it? And we didn't want the good-hearted ones to end up being penalized. This is a county tax to be used for county residents, so we asked them to stop that, and they agreed to stop that. And if the commission feels differently about it, that's fine, but that's just kind of the way the board viewed it.
It wasn't a nice letter. I don't think we would have known about it if my mother-in-law hadn't got one, so
yeah.
So we put a stop to it. Some of us was adamant about it. I won't say who.
Well, can't imagine. Well, didn't set. I wasn't too upset until we started asking questions in the meeting, and maybe I just didn't like the attitude of the lady from Southwest Missouri Office on Aging. She kind of rubbed me the wrong way, too. So, I mean, they do a good job, and I think in general. But you know, I guess if they're getting money from us, we just want them to kind of play by our rules, too.
And we don't like, just because they do it in another county that way doesn't mean they're going to do it that way in Taney County.
Excellent. Any other questions? Or?
So the way that I understand this is that you and Ron are going to work on a proposal to be presented
something to
go into the minutes, and then we'll... Because Ron won't be here, we'll vote on the other board members need to be voted on at that time, right? Or you want to wait till you get back?
If the sooner the better. All I'm looking at is a paragraph, Danny, that makes it clear.
I understand.
We're moving the terms to January 1st. Here's the vacancies that exist, the appointments that need to be made. You all make those appointments or not. It's up to you.
I want to make one thing perfectly clear on that, too. Those terms that expired, Don had called me about it and said we have a couple of board members that their terms have expired. And I said, other than put that on the agenda for whatever date you asked for when we were talking, I said we're just going to wait till the first of the year to make those appointments. That was probably my mistake for saying that, but we didn't. I was worried about whether they had enough to hold a meeting or not. If one or two were absent or something like that, well, then that would have put them, if they were just meeting once a month, in a bad position. So that was the statement that I made to him, and that had been discussed by previous commission about moving everything to the first of the year, because we have these scattered, and it's hard to keep up with them. Each appointment for park board and everything else was different, and so it led to the terms being...
Well, if Don will get his suggestion to me, I'll put it in the form and have it in you guys' hands for Thursday.
I'll just send it to all three of you. I don't know that I got Brandon's, but I'm sure I can get his email address. Just
number one. Is that what it is? Brandon, number one.
Apple doesn't far fall from the tree.
Can't get a break.
Okay. Thank you very much.
He was referring to Helen. Thank you. All of you. Our next order is I'm going to talk to these gentlemen back here. 2013 budget discussions, which we have set for the conference room upstairs. The public, it's set for 11, but it's set for the rest of the day, actually.
Okay.
We have an opportunity to go into exec at 1. But my recommendation is, since we have handled all of our agendized items, that we recess until that 1 o'clock hour, actually recess till we get upstairs, and start the budget discussion. Do you want to do that or go to lunch and then come back?
Do you want to start and stop and start again?
Well, I was looking at this lady, too.
Sorry.
No.
It's whatever you want, Jack.
Let's do it at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
Let's stay in a recess till 1. Is that all right?
All right.
And gentlemen, I'll take care of you if I can. Let me come back there and join you.